All right, let's open our Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 tonight will not keep you long. Just a few thoughts tonight as we're certainly thankful for God's work in our life. Psalm 100 is just five verses in the Psalm. It's actually a combination of the final results of, or the conclusion of, Psalms 93 up through 99. So you can take, if you go back and read 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, and then Psalm 100, the five verses, like writing a conclusion to those Psalms. But let's read Psalm 100, first of all. And it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We do thank you, Father God, for your many blessings in our life. Every day, every week, month, year ought to be a time of thanksgiving to you. But we are thankful, Lord, that we have a special period of time, even a special day of thanksgiving. And that's a good thing. And so, Lord, we want to take that opportunity to be reminded of how thankful we ought to be, and God, what you do in us, through us, and for us. So tonight I pray that you might speak to our hearts about who you are and how you are such a blessing in our lives, and we'll thank you for it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you go back to Psalm 93, just probably a page back in your Bible, it starts out in Psalm 93 saying, the Lord reigneth, notice this, he is clothed with majesty. He is clothed with majesty. Interesting statement when you stop and think about it. When we think of the Lord Jesus coming to this earth, how was he clothed? The Bible says in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. But the day is coming when he'll be clothed with majesty. Then in Psalm 94, it says, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, shew thyself. To whom vengeance belongeth. We could, matter of fact, just flip back a few pages to Psalm 58. Look at Psalm 58 and look down at verse 10, 58:10. Yeah, there it is. Psalm 58:10. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judgeth in the earth. The Bible teaches us very plainly that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And we need to remember that, let's leave the vengeance up to him. He knows best. We don't always see the whole picture. We don't always understand the heart. So let's let vengeance be to him. As a matter of fact, the Lord will make everything right. Just trust in the Lord. We would be vindictive, whereas God will deal with righteous vengeance. And so To whom vengeance belongeth. Psalm 95 talks about here in Psalm 95, Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Look at verse 2 there. He says, Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Let us sing unto the Lord. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. It isn't by accident that we have music service. It isn't by accident that we have a choir. All these things are a part of the Bible. We are to sing. It's good to hear people singing to the Lord. You drive by and you see somebody, their lips moving, they're singing to a radio and some song. And don't be afraid to sing unto the Lord. Give thanksgiving to Him. Then Psalm 96, it goes on to say, in Psalm 96, Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Psalm 97 says, The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. The Lord reigneth. Psalm 98 says, Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Oh, sing unto the Lord. This is a heart of thanksgiving. And in Psalm 98, says here, The Lord reigneth again. Just the same as he started out in 97. Psalm 99, he said, The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for he is holy. The Lord reigneth, let them tremble. And now we come to the conclusion or the summation. If you'd read all those psalms, of course, and all that's in them. But we come to Psalm 100, and he says, Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. A joyful noise unto the Lord. Somebody says, I can't sing. No, but you can do a joyful noise, amen, unto the Lord. Singing unto him. There's several things about this. In verse 3, he says, Know ye that the Lord, He is God. So one of the blessings that we have, one of the things that give us happiness, you know, the blissful life, that's an old Saxon word that means joy or exaltation or to rejoice. To have a high degree of happiness, there's some things that you and I need to understand about the Lord. So first of all, we need to have knowledge of Him. Look at verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. when you just read that in our English Bible, we may not quite get the inference there, because the word there in verse 3, the word Lord and the word God are actually two different words in the Hebrew. The word Lord, capital L-O-R-D, of course that's always written that way in the King James because all capital letters, it's speaking of Jehovah. Now understand that the name Jehovah means self-existing one. Self-existing one. You know, there's a lot of things you and I need. And there's a lot of help you and I need, but God doesn't need our help. God doesn't need anything. He is the self-existing one. He is Jehovah. But then he goes on to say in verse 3, Know ye that the Lord, Jehovah, He is God. It's the Hebrew name Elohim. Elohim. Actually, you find it at the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The word El, and sometimes you see it in different names of the Bible, the word El, E-L, is a word that means strength. And so Elohim, he is the strong one. So go back and think about it. You want to know your God, you want to know the Lord, well, understand that he is Jehovah. He's the self-existing one. He doesn't need anything. He exists of himself. He's the self-existing one. And he's the strong one. He's our strength. Know the Lord is a wonderful blessing in our life when we know him. Know his person, his power, and his purpose for us in our life. And then, another way of, as we think about Thanksgiving and the blessing that God is to us and the happiness over and over again we've read here about having joy and thankfulness and so forth, that is, we need to understand a relationship, the relationship that God wants with us. So verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people." Look at that. "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It shows, number one, we are his people. That ought to make us realize that God is the one that makes us who we are. You know, we read Ephesians 2, 8, 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God." Verse 9, "not of works, lest any man should boast." But we sometimes forget verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." And so we need to understand our character as people. We are his people, his workmanship. And then he speaks of the sheep of his pasture, the provision that is provided for us. Psalm 23, verse 2, he maketh us to lie down in green pastures. He is the provider for us. Know your God. Know his, have knowledge of him. Know the Lord. He is God. Know that we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find" what? Pasture. What does it mean, pasture? He go in and out. He's going to provide for us whatever the need might be. What a blessing that is. A high degree of happiness when we know who God is, when we understand our relationship. Not only that, but it's a blissful service that we can have. Go back to verse 2. "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." Don't serve the Lord with sadness. That isn't what it said. Sometimes we look at Christians, we think that's what they think. Serve the Lord with sadness. No, it says serve the Lord with gladness. It's not serve the Lord with sadness and come before him with whining. It's serve the Lord with gladness and come before him and singing. Amen. That's the way God wants us to be. Back in Matthew chapter 11, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That ought to put a smile on our face. Amen. When we serve the Lord, we can serve him with gladness. And we can sing praises unto him. Serving the Lord. Thinking about that degree of happiness as we know or have knowledge of him. Know ye the Lord, he is God. Our relationship with him. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And the blissful service. Serve the Lord with gladness. Then, a fourth thing here, a fellowship. Look at verse 4. enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Notice, to enter his gates and enter his courts. What's that mean? It means to come to a place of communion with God. Come into his, through his gate and into his court and have that fellowship with him that, of course, we all should have. The fellowship is to be a continual fellowship. Matthew 27, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks did rent. How did that happen in Hebrews chapter 10? God reached down and ripped the veil. They say it's a very thick veil. I've heard anywhere from 4 inches thick up to a foot or so thick. I have no idea, never seen it. But it was thick, and it separated the holy place with the Holy of Holies. Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant or the presence of God was. And God just reached down when Jesus died on the cross and ripped it open. And by the way, the Bible says in Hebrews, from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top. It wasn't man doing it. It was God reaching down and ripping it open. What that did, we gained access through the gates and into his court. I don't need a priest to go before the Lord. I can go before the Lord. I can walk boldly before the throne of grace. Do I have a high priest? Absolutely. My high priest is Jesus Christ, and he sits at the right hand of the Father in that court. And so, what a blessing that is. The knowledge of knowing who the Lord is. The Lord is our God. The relationship we have. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The service that we have here. He said, serve that Lord, serve the Lord, the Jehovah, with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And then that fellowship. He's opened the way that you and I can go and fellowship with him. That ought to be something we ought to sing about. Something we ought to praise the Lord about. Number 5, the blissful object. Notice verse 4 there again. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and do what? And bless his name. We sing the song, his name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. We talk about at Christmas time. It's actually found in Isaiah 9:6, where he says his name is wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's our Prince of Peace, the Bible says. It's the name of the Lord. The name above all names. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. The object of our wonderful blessing. Bless his name. And then the blissful testimony. Look at verse 5 as we finish it up there. He said, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. His mercy is everlasting. Now, I know when I say that, you're probably thinking that God used all of his mercy up on me. Sometimes I think he has, you know. But no, I'm thankful that he's told me here that his mercy is everlasting. I can't use it up. It's kind of like in that story in 1 Kings chapter 17, where the widow comes and she has this meal in the barrel and she just keeps going back and it's just still more there and more there and more there. That's the grace of God and the mercy of God. It is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. What does that mean? You say, well, it just means it keeps on going. Well, that's true, but what it's saying here, His truth endureth to all generations, what it means is it's not changing. It's unchanging. In other words, the Word of God, back at the beginning, is the same Word of God that's today. God has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have an unchanging God. Isn't that wonderful? Have been around somebody every time you turn around, they're changing. They want to do something a different way or whatever, you know. You don't have to worry about that. What was sin back then, sin today, will be sin in the future. What God blessed back then, God blesses today and will bless in the future. If God said it was wrong, it's still wrong today, just as it was back then. I can go to God knowing that His Word is unchanging. So we have here this wonderful blessing. We started out in Psalm 93, and we certainly don't have time to read all of it and comment on all those Psalms, but we've seen as we went through each one that blessing, that the fact that the Lord reigns, the fact that we're to sing songs unto the Lord, and so forth. But it culminates in the fact that God blesses us with the knowledge, with the relationship, with the service, with our fellowship. He opened up the gates and His courts for us to come in. He blessed us with His name. By the way, if you carry the name of Christ, you're called a Christian. He blessed us with His name. Sweetest name I know. And then that blessing of His testimony. His mercy is everlasting. Look, we have a lot to be thankful for tonight. And I hope as you have your Thanksgiving with family and friends, whoever you're going to be with, that you take time. You're a Christian. You carry the name of Christ. You say, well, I got this person, that person. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be nasty about it. You just let me take time to thank the Lord for what He has done in my life and our lives. I think it was Dwight L. Moody that was having lunch one day, and a stranger walked up and he said, do you mind if I sit here? And he said, no, go right ahead. Moody had just got his lunch, and so he bowed his head, and the guy sat there and looked at him, and he finally, Moody raised his head and he started to eat, and he said, what's wrong? You tired or sleepy or what's the problem? He said, no. He said, I'm just thanking the Lord for my food, the provisions that He'd made for him. He said, the man said, well, I work for my money. I spend my money as I please. I'm not thankful to anybody. What I have is because of me. But Dwight L. Moody said, well, that's fine, but I'm going to thank the One who provided all this for me, and that's my God, a testimony unto our God. We need to be thankful. He is a God that has given us much, and we ought to show our thankfulness every day, and certainly in this time that we have when we gather together with family members. Be thankful to your God. He is a wonderful God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, tonight we love You and we thank You for Your blessing. Thank You for the folks that have been out tonight and just asked a special blessing upon them. And I know as they move into the time of Thanksgiving and Lord, how You have blessed us over these many years of our life. How You've certainly been a great and wonderful God, a God of mercy and a God of grace. Lord, may we take this opportunity that we have with family and friends to lift up Your name and praise You and thank You for all that You've done. And Lord, there may be tonight some that need to talk to You about a need, a situation, And maybe it might even be something that coming up as we think of this Thanksgiving holiday and family members. They need to come and pray for that one, or pray for themselves as they try to be a good testimony and witness. So, Lord, have your will and your way tonight as we offer the invitation as God's people come together to worship you and come together to seek your face. May, Lord, you hear and answer those prayers. And we'll thank you for it, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.